How many knows the scripture says there's coming a time when men will not endure sound doctrine? They don't want to hear it. Now, we got a tall order tonight when we get into this. We're going to be talking about who God is, the nature of God. And that's a tall order. And by the way, the only thing we know accurately about God is what He has revealed of Himself in this book. And make no mistake, this did not come from the mind of men. If I could get us to remember anything, that is, what is in this book we could have never known if God hadn't told it to us. We couldn't have done it. It didn't come from the mind of men. It's a holy thing. It's a living thing. So we got a tall order tonight. So let's bow our hearts for prayer. Father, as we speak about You, we need Your help. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I pray that You would be here in a special way. Lord, You know the needs are here, and even on doctrine night, You're able to speak and show Your greatness to some person, some soul. Give me clarity of thought, Lord, I pray. Anoint Your doctrine in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, people, are you ready? Good to see you, Cody. Ready, young people? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. We are... And no more games. We've talked about being monotheistic, talked about being Christian, Protestant, Evangelical, and Classical Pentecost. I've been tempted because of your comments and different things to revisit this. Last week I went storming through that at 190 miles per hour. I realized when I got through I wasn't being very clear. But, you know, I just want to say this. I won't get back into it, but two things in what I was trying to describe. The Neo-Pentecost of our day, if you remember, I was saying was flippant and light. Because, number one, it is not tied to true teaching. It's based on experience and emotions and not the Word of God. My wife, years ago on choir tour, she stayed with some of these folks, and I'm not downing their character and who they are as people. I'm just telling you what they believe. But they were rejoicing because their dog had just got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I asked her if that dog meowed. But to even concoct something like that, and I believe it was the same place, since they had received the baptism, flies wouldn't enter their house. They'd fly up to the door and make a U. Now, I know God can do that. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit is that men and women might be reached by the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a serious purpose. Not only is it not tied to doctrine, it's not tied to life. Brother Brian was sharing with me of a singing star, right? Movie star, who cusses and curse, and then in the same breath talks about how she loves to speak in tongues. See, it's not tied to life. I don't know if I'll get to it in this series, but when we speak of the Spirit, we must never forget we're speaking of the Holy Spirit. I don't think you can get the Spirit without getting the Holy with it. Amen? So, I'll resist that temptation. Tonight, we're going to talk about the next point of what we are. We are Trinitarian. I want to ask some questions just to get started. And I don't mean this to be condemnatory. I just want us to think about. But have we lost our focus on God to the point that the contemplation of the Trinity has no wonder for us? Did you know in colonial America, on a Sunday, you might sit through a 3-hour sermon on the Trinity, and people love to contemplate the Trinity? Somehow today, church has become so much about the human angle. How do I feel? What is my problem? What's God going to do for me today? We fail to make it vertical. I believe church ought to be vertical. We ought to be looking to God. Can you say amen? Friedrich Fraber, I'm going to read this for you for a moment. I shouldn't have did it there, but he was a great poet and a thoughtful poet. I like one of his stanzas. I've quoted it many times, but he said, "Only to sit and think of God. To think the thought, to breathe the name, earth hath no higher bliss. Here's another stanza. O blessed Trinity, O simplest majesty, O three in one, thou art forever God alone. Holy Trinity, bless equal three. O God, we praise thee. I like the three and the thee. I want us to review the name of our church. Now, this is the way it is on the charter at the state. Union Pentecostal Church. Now, that is union not as in the town union or because we run a union here and have a union boss. It's union as in Union Road. But how many knows that our name has been problematic a few times? Here's why. Let me show you why. Then I'll tell you the stories, okay? Here's our name. UPC. Union Pentecostal Church. Well, one of the largest oneness organization is UPC. United Pentecostal Church. I had held a revival in eastern Pennsylvania, and some of the people of that church heard that I took this church to pastor, and they were headed west, and so they called up and said, hey, we're headed west, we'd like to stop by and see you. And his wife knew this, she was playing with him, and so on the way here, this just about here, she said, you know the Hearst pastor of UPC church, don't you? Nah. Yes, sir, they do. And he just, when he got to the turnoff, he almost didn't take it until she said, wait a minute, I was joking with you. It is UPC, but it's not that. When I had been pastor here just a few years, I had a lady that came for 3 or 4 weeks and really got in. One Monday, I got a phone call. She said, Pastor, I said, yes. She said, I got to ask you a question. She said, are you Trinitarian? And I said, yes. She said, oh, I've made a mistake. And then some will remember not long back, we had an excellent family, and they came, they were in my Sunday school class, and about the second or third Sunday, they got there a little early, and I walked in. They said, can we talk to you? I said, yes. They said, you're UPC, aren't you? And I said, oh, I'll tell you what happened. There are other names, apostolic, oneness, that'll be the one we're using primarily tonight, Jesus' name, Jesus only. I'm a little bit miffed at the fact that they've hijacked the word apostolic. Let me explain. The early Pentecostals called themselves apostolic because they believed we should have the same moving of the Spirit, the same power that the apostles in the book of Acts had. So their publications were called apostolic. They called themselves apostolic. But let me tell you how this all got started. In a revival in one of the suburbs of Los Angeles, you wouldn't believe the things that have come out of Los Angeles. We'll leave it there. They were having a great old-fashioned camp meeting. But one man said that he stayed up all night and prayed, and close to morning, God gave him a new revelation. You know, there's something we've got to be careful of. I don't think there's any new revelations to be had. I think we have all the revelation right here. And he said the new revelation is their baptism was no good because they had been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He said, God has shown me, and I have this burning experience that we should be baptized in the name of Jesus only. And if we don't, we won't really be saved. And so there at that camp meeting, they began to rebaptize folks that had been Christians for years, some of them. That's how this got started. And what they believed is what we're going to deal with tonight. Now, because, let me give you one more thing. Because our roots are holiness, and because the oneness are strong holiness people, and we're not faulting them at that at all, sometimes we get confused with them in the mall. And you know, the ladies will say, are they one of us? I don't know. No. I can tell by the hairstyle. So I want us to know tonight there's more difference between a classic Pentecostal and a oneness Pentecostal than the hairstyle of the women and the hair part of the men. And I got it all confused. You know, ones used to do it on the side and some in the middle. And I just cover all the ground, you know. But anyway, there's more difference. There's more difference than those. It's a doctrinal, scriptural difference. Now, remember, I'm talking about God. How do you explain? How do you define God? Okay? But we're going to try. I'm going to try to make it very simple. We as Trinitarians, we believe that God is one being. There's none like Him. This being we're talking about, it's not human. He's one being, none compared to Him. He's one being that consists of three distinct persons. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who, although three separate persons, eternally share the same nature co-equally. They're three distinct persons, but they're always in harmony. They never differ. They never have differences of opinions. They always are in agreement. However, the oneness believe that God is one person who manifests Himself in three different ways. It's kind of like you see me here preaching tonight. If you'd see me out working on a house sometime, I'd have old jeans on and a cap on, and you'd say, oh, you're in a different role now. You look different because you're in a different role. So to them, the terms Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are simply titles for the different ways God manifests Himself. So Father is one way He shows Himself. Sometimes He shows Himself as a Son, the Son, and sometimes He shows Himself as the Holy Spirit. Let's look at it side by side. Of course, both of Trinitarians and oneness believe in God. But the Trinitarians believe God is one being. Oneness believe that God is one person. Trinitarians believe that God is one being of three persons. Oneness believe that God is one person that shows Himself differently and therefore has different titles. Both use the terms Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Trinitarian, it's three names, three persons, one God. For oneness, it's three names, one person. So it's like me having three different names. And by the way, I'll explain later, but they'll say, well, point to me, aren't you both a Father and a Son? And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Now, some folks get real nervous because they say the word Trinity isn't in the Bible. How many knows the word Trinity isn't in the Bible? But before that bothers you, and I'm using the King James Version, let me let you know this. The word grandfather isn't in the Bible. But are there grandfathers in the Bible? Even though that term's not used. The word demon, you may be surprised, but the word demon is not in the King James Version. But are there demons? Okay. The word rapture is not in the Bible. But does the Bible teach a rapture? The word Bible isn't in the word Bible. I'm talking about in the translation. But is there such thing as a Bible? And so, don't let it bother you, the word Trinity isn't in the Bible. Now, I want to tell you this. I don't care the IQ. No one can really understand the Trinity. You know, beware of the fellow that shows up and says, I've got God figured out. Woo! If I had God figured out, what would that make me? It'd make me bigger than God. So I want to say right up front, no one can understand the Trinity, but it is what the Bible teaches. And so we believe it. Let me tell you this. Science, even as far as it has developed, really does not understand electricity. Really does not understand magnetism. I mean, they can describe some things about it, but they really, really don't understand it. And you really don't understand how that little corn kernel can end up popcorn either. I know, you know, you put heat to it, but you still marvel if you think about it. I shouldn't have mentioned popcorn. You're thinking after church. Let's move on. Come, keep our mind on the Trinity here, not popcorn. The Bible teaches it, so we believe it. Now, you can't understand the Trinity, but once you believe the Trinity, then a lot of things are understandable. Don't you think about that? You cannot wrap your mind around the Trinity. You cannot reason your way to the... But once you accept God's Word's teaching on the Trinity and accept it, all of a sudden, things start falling in place. You start understanding things, both of the Word and of our world. So let's review. Now listen, this is a huge subject, and I'm going to be very limited tonight, I promise you. We believe that God is one being consisting of three distinct persons. What will happen many times, and I don't know how many times a oneness person won't discuss this with me, that's the nice word, discuss it. Don't you know that Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And they expect me to argue with them. I'm not going to argue with them. How many believes that verse of Scripture? If they quote that to you, don't argue with them. Say, yes, that's exactly right. The Lord, and by the way, do you see how Lord is in all capital letters? Just a quick incidental thing. Not incidental, but you know what that means when Lord's all in capital letters? That means the word behind that is Yahweh, Jehovah, I am. So the I am, our God, is one I am. He's one God. We believe in one God. Trinitarians do not believe in three gods. We don't believe in one God who is the Father, a second God who is the Son, and the third God who is the Holy Spirit. We believe God, and there's no comparison because He's a being like none other. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now listen, before I get started, I want to tell you that every analogy is limited. Every analogy can only be carried so far. But here's some that might help. Let's take a geometrical figure, the triangle. It's one triangle, but it has three sides, three angles. But only one triangle. If God is the triangle, then the angles are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three different angles, one triangle. I hate this analogy, but I hear it, so I'm going to use it anyway. It's one egg, but it's white, yolk, and shell, one egg. Okay? And all physical analogies break down. I do like this. Notice as you go inward, or outward, however you look at it, the Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. But the Father is not the Son, and the Father is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's not the Son, and the Holy Spirit's not the Father, and the Son is not the Father, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit. One being, three distinct persons. Now let's go back to what the oneness say. God is one person who manifests Himself as three different personalities. Now they would argue with me here. Some will use personalities. Most will say manifestations or titles or something else. But really, when I begin to understand their view of God, it's like a schizophrenic person almost, individual almost. They got different personalities that show themselves at different times. God is one being with three persons. Now, I'm not trying to convince you the oneness belief, but I want to give you one of their main analogies. I've changed a little bit, but here's one of their main analogies. They say, why can't one person have three different ways that he shows himself? Let's take the man Joe Jones. At the office, he's called Mr. Jones. On the golf course, he's called Joe. His kids call him Daddy at home, but it's just one man. See? Sometimes God's called Father, sometimes God's called Son, sometimes God's called Holy Spirit. And so something like this. Here's Joe Jones, he's Mr. Jones at the office, Joe at the golf course, and Daddy at home. Here's the problem with that, big problem. He can't be Mr. Jones at the office working, and Joe on the golf course, and Daddy at home at the same time. He's either going to be Joe in the office, and then he's going to have to leave and be Joe on the golf course, and then he's going to have to go home and be Dad. He can't be all three places, all three things at the same time. Okay? If he's only one person. While Mr. Jones at home, he can't telephone and talk to Daddy at home and have a chat. Don't work. But the Bible clearly shows that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three distinct persons, though they're in separately God. Let me give you a scripture. This says it all. If you would take God's word literally, this says it all. Stay with me, young people. You don't know when you're going to encounter someone that has these questions. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw. So we have one seeing the other. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lo, a voice, there's the third, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Forget Joe Jones. Let's look at Jesus. He's Jesus in the water. So Jesus is in the water. The Holy Spirit descends from heaven, and the Father speaks. After the Holy Spirit has descended, the Father speaks from heaven. You know what? One of the best explanations from the oneness point of view I've had of this, and I don't mean to be funny, but really this is their explanation. God's a ventriloquist. He threw his voice from heaven back down to himself. No, there's three distinct persons, one God. The Bible clearly shows that these three are more than one person. Let me give you just, and it's, the Scripture is full of this. I mean, we can go way back to Genesis. Let us make man in our image. Right? But just here's a few Scriptures. "Ye judge unto the flesh," Jesus said, "I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone." What did he say? "For I am not" what? "Alone. But I and the Father that sent me. It's also written in your law that the testimony of" how many? "Two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." In other words, the Father is the other of the two. How many believes Jesus knows how to count? I'm glad. Look at verse 29. I want us to do something. I think I had the young people do this last time I taught them, but here's another verse Jesus said. "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." If God is only one person, why don't we take each pronoun here and put the name Jesus there, because they believe the one person is Jesus. Let's see how that reads. "And Jesus that sent Jesus is with Jesus. Jesus has not left Jesus alone, for Jesus does always those things that please Jesus." See, if it's just one person, it doesn't work. It doesn't fit. Now, I'm not trying to be critical here, but I want you to know the lay of the land. To believe oneness, if you know what you believe, you'll have to end up doing one of these three things. Number one, twist Scripture. I am adamant on how we treat Scripture. I have read, and it's been years since I've done the research, and I'd have to dig it up, but one of the chief theologians of the oneness says, you cannot take Scripture literally and believe oneness. You've got to look deeper for the secret spiritual meaning. Well, if you're going to do that on the Godhead, why don't you do that on everything? I think God literally meant what He shared with us. Twist Scripture. Secondly, or you could twist the nature of Jesus when he was here on earth. Or thirdly, you could twist history. Now, each of these I could spend a night on, but I'm going to spend about a minute or two on each one. Here's how they twist Scripture. I want you to watch this. This is one of their main theologians. This is what he does. How many already knows what's wrong here? Just glance at it. Don't read it. Just glance at it. Now, let me tell you what they do. They read this. They say, "Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning." They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Now notice here in this, the first verse, they said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm the same that I said unto you." Then they go on to put this verse. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. In other words, Jesus said to them, this is what they're saying, Jesus was saying to them, "I'm the Father." That's what they're teaching. How many knows just by glancing at what they did? What did they do? Left a verse out. Now, I want to warn you, not just of this group, but any group. If anybody starts hopscotching you through the Scripture, I'm talking about even some of these Word of Faith preachers. They'll say, "Let's go over to the Old Testament," and they'll pull a little phrase out here. "Now, let's go to the next book. Let's pull that little phrase out here. Now, let's go to another book and pull another phrase." When they do that, you better beware. If you want to know what God says, you don't take pull a verse out here and pull a verse out. You take the scripture and read it as a whole. And by the way, the best interpreter of scripture is more scripture. Amen? Okay. Now let's put the verse in. I've already said all that. They said unto him, verse 25, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. Here it is. But he that sent me, we're back to two. He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard, second party, I have heard of him, the first party, and they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. He wasn't saying he was the Father. He was saying the Father had sent him. He was saying, I speak to the world those things which I have heard of the Father. They pointedly twisted scripture. And by the way, I am glad the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And I'm glad the Holy Spirit makes that real so that I can be saved. Secondly, they don't twist Scripture. They twist the nature of Jesus. Let me give you one illustration. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, I have a question. If God is only one person whose name is Jesus, whom was Jesus talking to in the garden? Here's where they start to have trouble. One explanation they have to say is Jesus is just talking to himself. When he says Father, that's he's just acting that out. He's really talking to himself. The next thing they do is, and I don't have time to get into this, but they twist the nature of Jesus to an ancient pagan belief. And that is that Jesus wasn't just one person. Peter and John might have looked at him and saw one person, but they were looking at two persons. One of them was the man Jesus, and the other was the God Jesus. Two different intellects, two different emotions, two different wills, two different persons, the man Jesus. And most of them believe that it wasn't in the conception in Mary, but when Jesus was baptized, the man Jesus was baptized, then the God Jesus came and came into him. Like possession, you know. Don't we believe Jesus, man? Yes. Don't we believe Jesus is God? Yes, but we believe Jesus is one person who is 100% man and 100% God. You say, I don't understand that. No, but the Bible teaches that. He wasn't two, he was one. Just one. He made himself of no reputation. See, I don't have time to get into this, but what they fail to realize, Jesus was the Son before he was ever in Mary's womb. The Father sent not somebody to become the Son. The Father sent the Son. Right? And on the Scripture. So they have to twist the nature of Scripture. And then thirdly, they twist history. One of the things they'll like to say is, you Trinitarians, they like to tie us simply to Catholicism and the abuses of Catholicism. And they like to say, you never believed in the Trinity until 300 years after Christ at the Council of Nicaea. And that's when you started believing in the Trinity. And before that, everyone believed in oneness. That is totally, historically, completely, without hesitation, without reservation, that is totally inaccurate. From the very beginning, some writings go back to 70 AD. That's even earlier than some of the scripture writings. The church fathers taught a Trinity. 300 years later, they sat and they codified it. They were fighting heresy, and some of it was oneness that they were fighting. It was because they were fighting heresy that they had the council in 300 and wrote the doctrine out in a statement of the Trinity, but they had taught it before. It's also untrue that oneness was originally taught. About the only record you can find of anyone teaching oneness was these aberration, these groups that were not Orthodox Christians. They believe things about Jesus that the Bible didn't teach. So they have to twist Scripture. They have to twist the nature of Christ. They have to twist history. Here's what the oneness don't want to admit. Number one, they don't really believe a person is saved until the moment he's baptized in water in the formula in Jesus' name. Now, I want to make something very clear. We don't baptize people to save them. We baptize people because they have been saved. They would say no until you press them on this, but they do not really believe a person is saved until they've had that formula. Put them in water, baptize them in the name of Jesus in that particular formula. They don't believe they're saved until that moment. You say, yes, they do. Then why do they re-baptize people that have been baptized the other way? Now, here's the problem with that. They desperately don't believe or fervently don't believe in baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. By the way, who told us to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Who told us to do that? Jesus told us to do that. And I don't have time to go into all that tonight. What is wrong with that? What is wrong with not believing you're saved until you're baptized in Jesus' name? That's baptismal regeneration. That's the belief that the water saves you instead of the blood. I know they'll argue it, but in practice, that's what it is. Look, I want us to know something. Scripture teaches we are saved by the blood of Jesus, plus and minus nothing. The moment any belief, any person adds something to the blood of Jesus or takes from the blood of Jesus as the means of salvation, it's heresy. It's not scripture. It's not gospel. Another thing they don't want to admit. If you're only saved when you're baptized in Jesus' name, they also believe that's when you receive the Holy Spirit. And so what they've actually done is tied receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit with salvation. And then I've already mentioned this, and I won't go into it, but when you get down to it, they really don't believe in literal interpretation of Scripture. Now, I said all that tonight, each of those points we could have spent a night on, but I'm going to quit. And I just want to take one passage and just take just a moment here. I'm just going to read it that shows that God is Trinity and not oneness. Here we go. Jesus speaking. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Okay? But now I go... No. Well, that was the other verse, just to show you the context. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him, that's the Holy Spirit, unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. The Holy Spirit convinces them of sin because they don't believe on Jesus. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whosoever He shall hear, or whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Look at this. It's everywhere. All that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of mine, the Spirit shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. There's all three right there. I have what the Father gave me, and now the Holy Spirit's going to take it from me and show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. Again, a little while, you shall see me, because I go to my Father. And that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I will no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not that I will pray to the Father for you. For the Father Himself loveth you, because you have loved me and believed I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and come into the world. By the way, that takes away that earlier thing I shared, how the dualism of Christ. And now I leave the world and I go to the Father. It's all there. Three distinct persons. One God. One God. Did I exactly promise I'd stop right here? There's so much more. We can't get into it. Let me give just one thing. If this works for you, great. If it doesn't, just ignore it. I need three of you, okay? First three guys, why don't you come up here? I want you to stand over here for a minute. This is a little different argument, but I want you to think about this. How many believes when God says, I am the Lord God and I change not? How many believes yesterday, today, and forever He is the same? Okay, four people. We're doing pretty good. Now look, if I am God right here and I'm but one person, one of the things Scripture has said about God is God is love. Is God love tonight? Has God always been love? Okay, so if I'm one person, okay, before there's an earth, before there's a human created, before there's an angel created, when there is only me, God, in the whole, there's not a universe, but the whole existence. If I'm love and there's only me, whom did I love? You see, love by nature demands an object. So if I'm just one person, there is no one to love. Okay? You say you could love yourself. That is an aberration of love. We recognize that for what it is. Okay? But wait a minute. Now, I don't want to confuse you here because God doesn't have bodies. And that's one of the mistakes that we make. When we think of three, we think of three locations. Because people, in our minds, are tied to a location of a body. So don't do that. Just take an example. We got one. Okay, three. There's not an angel. There's not a human. There's nothing but God in eternity past. But God is love. And God doesn't ever change. Whom did God love? The Father loved the Son and the Spirit. And the Spirit loved the Son and the Father. And the Son loved the Father and Spirit from eternity past. There weren't even years there, but 1,016,000,000,000,000, let's make it bigger than our debt, 17 trillion years in the past, though there weren't years then. God was love. And the Father was loving the Son and the Spirit, and the Son and the Spirit was loving the Father. And so God has always been love. Amen. Thank you, guys. Would you come, music? We have lost such a sense of wonder and worship because the focus has been on us instead of on God when we do worship. I want you to ponder this when we come to the altar. This just came up in my Bible reading, but I want us to ponder this tonight. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of our Lord. Let me tell you what happens. Listen to me. Maybe I bored you with that last illustration, but listen to me. If we would begin to focus on God in worship, in prayer, in our everyday life, focusing on God and not on ourselves, I'll tell you what's going to happen. If we'll focus on God, we'll begin to change. I'll put it this simply. We become like the God we focus on. We become like the God we contemplate. We become like the God we think about. I want to think about Him. Aren't you glad you know the one true living great God? None like Him. None beside Him. None compared unto Him. O God, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God alone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what I like. There's someone that loves sound doctrine. Could you stand? Let's sing. We don't sing this much. Brad's going to help us tonight.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
Let's sing it again, could we, church? Let's think of Him. Think of Him.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
Just one more time as we come to pray. Could we do it?
Praise God from whom
Amen. Would you come and bow before the great God, the everlasting God? Thank you, Jesus.
Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we praise You. Who are we, God, to know You? Who are we, God, to speak of You? Who are we, God, to think of You? Only to sit and think of God. Oh, what a joy it is to think the thought, to breathe the name. Earth hath no higher bliss. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Hallelujah. We bow before You, God. We praise You, mighty God. We worship You, mighty God.